Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now, and you're listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and I am blessed to be with you as always. I was just sharing with a friend of mine, Dennis Knoll, and I was showing him some of your beautiful notes that come in with your donations. And I can honestly tell you, it touches my heart so much because I see your heartfelt thanks for this ministry. And it has been a blessing, an honor, and a privilege to be with all of you. We keep you in our hearts, and we have our we pray for you daily, and we want you to know that without you, this radio ministry would not go on. I'm blessed today to have somebody I consider a friend now. I've started out just meeting her very briefly and thought so much of her that I've invited her every second Tuesday to be co-host with me here at In His Sign. And once again, it's Adele Finnegan. I want to praise and thank God for your yes. There's a lot of work to be done, and we're hoping and praying that we'll be able to buy some more time. And Adele and John and John Williamson, we would like to be able to have them on at least a show a week. That's our goal, to have a certain day of the week to give them that whole hour. And we're believing in that, Adele. How about it?
Hi, Kathleen. It's great to be here. Thank you for having us. But all of us.
always a blessing. And once again, for those of you who may not know Adele, she is a part of Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania, and she is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union. So we want to praise and thank God for the work that they do, one life at a time. If they can reach one woman and turn one woman away from the abortion mills, if they can touch one woman's heart to give life to a baby instead of killing that child, that little boy, that little girl. And I know you were working really hard down at the march, so before we go any further, why don't you give us a little indication of what was going on down there, Adele?
Well, it was a great event this year. First of all, I would say that the weather was meant to be a problem. We all worried about the ice and the rain, and actually I was up pretty early on Friday morning. I was in D.C., and it was sleeting and snow, like a little bit snowy and very cold. And then by, 12:30, mm-hmm. 1 o'clock, it was completely gone. And so we had a great weather that made it really easy. Not easy, but it made it just so much more less challenging, I guess, yes. to deal with.
Yes.
And a lot of us from Pennsylvania, what we try to do, and which is always supposed to be part of what you do at the march, although for timing purposes it can be challenging for people, and that is to visit your Congress and senators.
Yes.
Their offices. And while some of them were not in town, many of them had sign-up sheets, so you could just put your name down in your email and say, you know, pro-life, or this is why we're here. Some pro-life people, a big group from the entire state of Pennsylvania, met with Senator Bob Casey.
Wonderful.
And his chief of staff spoke with us. And there were people from all the different parishes around here, Epiphany, Immaculate Conception, some of the parishes up in the Northeast.
Yep.
And so it was really great. And then actually all over the state, there was a ton of people in Pittsburgh Steelers outfits. So
yeah.
Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh people were there. And I had come in the second part, so I really just heard the chief of staff. But Kathy Sobosinski, who's a member of our board, mm-hmm. Spoke with Senator Casey, you know, once again advocating for life. And while the senator says he's pro-life,
yeah.
he hasn't quite acted that way, particularly on this health care
right.
Debate. And he's still defending that position, which would have allowed public funding of abortion, which is such a problem. I'm not sure how he justifies that in his own mind. I can only say that he needs our prayer and he needs our education. And as tiresome as that may seem, it's really important that we do this. And, you know, even when we were there, you talk to his staff members sometimes who I think are confused by what he has
right.
said. And so we need to take the time to explain it to them. You know, this funding for abortion is not okay. It's not abortion is not health care.
So. And, you know, his father was such yes. a voice for life that you wonder how, you know, he was formed in the truth. You wonder how he could veer at all from that. And
rationalization is an
yes.
amazing thing. I guess we all do it.
Yeah, we all
and,
do.
And, you know, sometimes I think that's what it is. It's a parent. It's a friend. Someone we really love that challenges us to question that rationalization, which is what our job is
right.
as pro-life people to go to. And it is, I do not underestimate the difficulty of it.
Oh, of course not.
And I know people don't always want to do it. And a lot of pro-life people say, I don't want to be involved with politics. And I would just say to them, don't think of this as being involved with politics. It's being involved in the public arena and going to, you know, no matter sort of how you feel about a different candidate. Anyone who is your elected official, even in, I think in the Jenkintown area, it's Allison Schwartz.
Allison Schwartz, yeah.
Who is a pro-abortion,
big time.
Had ran an abortion
yes.
facility. She should still be challenged every step of the way.
And absolutely.
It's up for, you know, just whether it's a phone call or an email or even sending her a prayer card and saying, this is why I'm against abortion. We need to do that. And so that's what a lot of people from Pennsylvania, and really it was, you know, the example of people like John Stanton, and then his son Patrick was there leading the way with 18,000 petitions.
Praise
that Patrick
God.
Carried, and along with a few of some other young guys bringing carrying petitions in their backpacks on the march. So
right.
God bless them for doing that, because I wouldn't have carried 18,000 petitions.
Amen.
I would have needed a suitcase. So.
Well, this is, you know, I'm disappointed the last couple of years because I haven't been down at the march, and because I'm interviewing people about the march.
Right.
And I was saying that this year, you know, we had so much planned. And as it turned out, I wound up very, very, very sick. Fever, the chill, the whole thing, the flu, I guess. And wound up having to put a tape in. So I was so blessed that at least this Tuesday we would have you, you know, on the air giving the good news about this, about the advances that we have made. First off, when my children were all down there, they were telling me when they came back, they said, Mom, I honestly believe this was the largest group since we've been attending.
It definitely was. And actually, partly because I was not necessarily in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
but came out of Casey's office, which is at the
top of the hill
mm-hmm. before you turn to go towards the Supreme Court.
Right.
And it was just packed. And actually, people who were in some of the offices there were saying it took hours for this whole line to get down.
Right.
And it was so funny because the secular media just so tries to display this as like not that big of a deal.
I know.
It's the biggest march on any issue in Washington, D.C. I had lived down there for, you know, 12, 14 years,
right.
and it shut the city down. And they try to ignore it, but they really can't. And they've said a few things, you know, tried to sort of just pretend it didn't really happen. But there was one poster in the Washington Post who said that, and this is a pro-abortion person, he calls himself pro-choice, but he said he was struck by the number of young people that were there.
Yeah.
And that it isn't, even though some, you know, people tried to say it was, you know, it's all older people, it's all men.
Not
That's
anymore.
Completely not true. Right. So it was great. And I mean, kudos to everyone that made it down there and made the track. I mean, there were people there from Wisconsin. They'd been on buses all night.
Right.
You know, friends like, you know, I had a friend from Boston come down. She'd been on a bus all night. So it is a sacrificial thing. And then just so uplifting when you're there. So it was great.
And, you know, I got an email from someone at the walk down in on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they had 35,000 people show up for their walk.
Yeah, and I saw some pictures of theirs.
Yeah,
that was a great event as well.
Great as well. And and on the West Coast, that's, you know, a lot of times they don't get those kind of numbers. So.
And it's only actually 4 years old there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's really the other, or 5 years. I guess they started in 2005. Yeah. So the whole thing is just, it's kind of amazing that we're still doing this in this mm-hmm. country.
It's sad that we have
to. It is very sad that we have to.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's a testament to the virtue of perseverance mm-hmm. and faith on the part of pro-life people
That's right.
The church, in that we still keep standing up against the horror that is abortion.
Right.
And just today, actually, I was speaking with a former client, or she's still a client of the Pro-Life Union, and I had met her a few years ago. She was abortion-minded, changed her mind, and then has been through a series of things, even part of which was she was working at an abortion facility for a while because she couldn't find a job anywhere else, and she was like an operating room tech and tried to justify it by saying she didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
She only worked there for a few weeks, and then she quit because we kept saying, you need to quit, you need to quit.
Right.
She was telling me these stories today about what happens at abortion facilities. And although I know it, and I've read it, and I've heard it,
mm-hmm.
watching this young woman recount the stories and how horrible this really is,
right.
just the reality of it, and that people don't get involved, that some people feel like they can sit back, you
right.
know.
Somebody else will do it.
Yes, and it just, once again, we all need to get involved,
yeah.
you know, and we all need to learn. And it was so funny because she's married now and expecting her third baby, and her husband were just taking all this information and eating the information up, basically wanting to know more about abortion and its effect on the Black community, its effect on our city here in
That's
Philadelphia,
right.
and just our country in general. And just the receptivity, you know, because she had seen the tangible horror of it.
Exactly.
And it's just so easy. 50 million babies, it's very easy to say the number's too big. It's not one individual person.
You know? So you hear it like that.
Yeah, it was just so sad, the things that she was saying.
Well, I think one of the things, too, that God is using working together for a greater good is that Abby Johnson.
Yes.
You know, she was involved in the, you know, the abortion industry. And as you know, you've heard her story. She was called in. She was a techie type person, but called in to assist in one of these mm-hmm. For an ultrasound. And she said she had a child at home. And she said she was really shaken inside,
yes.
because she realized, she said she worked there, but you can sort of compartmentalize mm-hmm. at times. And even something so horrific as murdering these little boys and murdering these little girls, the bottom line is that I guess the way they do it is to say, this is just my job, it's not really a baby.
Yes.
And she couldn't do it. She mm-hmm. couldn't get her mind into that. And she tells the story, like you just shared, of the woman that mm-hmm. Was telling the absolute horror of seeing it
yeah.
be done. And that brings it to home. That makes everybody realize this is a woman who saw it being performed. This is a woman who participated in the act. This is no exaggeration. This
yeah.
isn't a pro-life person writing a story.
Yeah, we're not kidding.
We're not
That's
kidding.
Sort of
this
what
is
you
the
want to say.
Real thing.
And honestly, too, I think it brings up a second point. A lot of times people are uncomfortable with organizations that show graphic images.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of abortion, but there are times where that is really necessary. We need to see those pictures so
Absolutely.
We can be reminded of what we're losing. And, you know, and I was saying to this client today, if every child is made in the image and likeness of God, we're destroying that with every baby. And just to be doing that, and that's a, that effect just on our, you know, that sin and its effect on our society is such a, it's a horrific thing to really ponder, actually. And it's easy. I mean, I certainly don't let myself sit and think about it because it would make me go crazy.
Exactly.
But you do have to do something about it to a certain extent. And it was funny, not funny, but Dinesh D'Souza. He said a few months ago in an article, maybe it's in one of his books, where abortion has become, you know, abortion is the sort of the wasteland of the sexual revolution. And that is really the reality, that we blind ourselves to what's really happening, and we convince ourselves that maybe sometimes it's okay,
right,
because we're not willing to say that our sexuality needs to be respected and in marriage.
That's right.
And recently a study came out about there's been an increase in abortions and teen pregnancies in our country, and Time magazine had a story out about it today. It was on Yahoo News and things. And every one of these articles, they just keep going back to, we need more, you know, basically sex education. We need more. We got to get rid of abstinence only. And it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's exactly the opposite of that. It's that we need to understand and respect our sexuality, because when we don't, when we have these band-aids for our bad behavior, then the final result is abortion and dead babies.
Absolutely. That's why education is so important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you brought up a really good point a moment ago about the graphic, you know, the media certainly doesn't want to show any graphics about an abortion or a dead babies in trash cans or any of the rest from hospitals. And yet it was those very kinds of graphic material, newspapers, pictures, articles, people witnessing in the changed slavery.
Yes.
I mean, if it wasn't for the absolute seeing on TV, people being beaten, being treated horribly, drugged through the streets, hung by trees, if it wasn't for that graphic vision, we would not have acted.
Right.
And today, I think Americans in particular, and I do think around the world, but particularly in America, I really see that the technology today, especially with the new three-dimensional pictures of ultrasounds and so forth, I think people in America are beginning to understand, hey, this isn't what I wanted when I said I was pro-life, when I said I was pro-choice. It's really killing a baby. I'm turning away from that. That isn't what I really believed it was. And people, because of education, being informed, they're having a new mindset, and it's turning for life and against, you know, against death.
It is really, it's so true that we need to focus on that, on what's really happening in an abortion, and show people the truth. And I do think people, we have a pro-life majority in this country. Your average person is not okay with abortion.
Exactly.
I do think sometimes the connection is not made between the fact that that if we allow, if we continue to act as if sex is something that is just for pleasure outside of the marital embrace, outside of the marital context, then people still sort of are afraid to almost restrict abortion legally, because they want, you know, they want there to be that out for that bad behavior.
Exactly.
And so that's sort of the connection that we need to keep working on making. That has to be part of the pro-life message, is the chastity message. And I'm struck by that, you know, often when I read these articles about how abstinence education fails, and I always laugh and think abstinence actually never fails.
That's the only thing. It's 100%.
I mean, you know, I would use the word chastity to have a fuller understanding of it. But if someone is choosing to abstain from sexual behavior, then they're actually not going to become pregnant.
Right.
Like, that's pretty common sense.
Right.
So it's funny when these newspaper articles, these people are supposed to be so smart, can't say it that way.
Yeah.
And how easily people buy it, you know. But, you know, on the other hand, it is true. We have this technology, and, you know, you have these people experiencing, you know, women talking about their pregnancies, and, you know, feeling a baby move at a certain point, and that's all really good for the pro-life message. And children that live, you know, earlier and earlier.
Right.
It is so amazing.
You know, I think also one thing we've seen is men being more a part of the woman's pregnancy mm-hmm. more than ever before. You know, in a marriage, I mean, my first few children, I went in that delivery room by myself.
Right.
My husband was with me, but when I went through that delivery room, mm-hmm. he was in the waiting room. And that's very common.
Right. Sure.
And in my time, it was the way it was. Mm-hmm. And as of in the later years, of course, having 12 children, I had a lot of experience with
span
that.
Span there.
Right. And I noticed that, you know, my husband wanted to come in with the last couple. All my sons were there when their wives were pregnant. All my son-in-laws were there when their...
Right.
So they're becoming more aware. Mm-hmm. And because of that, more men are getting involved in pro-life activities because they realize I can have a say. I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the people are beginning to see, as you said, you know, the young people have always been there, but now they're more than half the crowd.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for them it is, you know, they do have a lot of peers.
Right.
You know, I think 30 years ago when abortion became legal, like, well, not 30, 38 years ago, but in 1973, if a woman found herself pregnant outside of marriage, it was still sort of considered scandalous. And she might, the tendency to run and hide and have an abortion, I think, was pretty much there. And plus there was feminism was growing and things like that. And a baby was, and there was an ultrasound. But these kids today, they were... the ultrasounds, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like the kids I used to babysit for that are in their 20s, I remember their mom coming home showing me an ultrasound. And so you kind of, that generation definitely knows. They've seen ultrasounds maybe of themselves.
Right.
So when they walk on the streets, they know it's that their peers are being killed and taken from them.
Right.
And it's great that instinctively there's a pro-life, you know, sentiment that comes out and that so many of them are willing to walk to defend it. And, you know, a lot of the parishes and schools that get the kids down there, you know, it's just so great that they do that because it's a good experience for them. I think they enjoy it. And the kids that are pro-life are like, I'm not alone. You know?
That's right.
I feel really good about this.
Yeah.
So
that's important. It's important that they realize that mm-hmm. their voice is being heard because many young voices are crying out now for life.
That's true.
And another thing too, that, that I see, you know, happening more and more is people are getting involved. Maybe people couldn't make the life march, but they were able to go make a holy hour.
Right.
Or maybe they couldn't get out of work and they had masses said. Or maybe they were praying at mass while people were down at the march.
Yeah.
And I see the numbers growing in the awareness of the horrible, horrific thing of pulling that baby out of the womb and destroying a little boy or a little girl.
And I think for us, really, we all have to remember this in our lives, every aspect of it. It's very easy. Like, the number is overwhelming.
Yeah.
What has to be done can be overwhelming. And there's sort of, we tend to be somewhat of an apathetic society in that, you know, we're involved with things sort of when it's, you know, sports comes first, like all these different things. But the people that are willing to get out there and make the pro-life movement a big part of their lives, a focus of their lives, are such an example. You know, the kids that make the, you know, the kid in the class that says, I'm going to go to the march. Right. You know, the school that does it or the pastor that really goes down there and pushes it. They're inspiring the rest of us, which is what's so great about things like that.
And I agree. I remember my children when they were in McDevitt. Of course, they're all married now and have families, and they take their children down to the march. But I remember they when they were in McDevitt High School, and they used to wear the roses on. Mm-hmm. And my son Sean used to say all the time, people would come up and say, "What's that rose? What do you wear as a guy?"
Yeah.
Of course, what do you got a rose on your lapel for? And he said it always gave him an opportunity to witness.
Yeah.
About life.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, somebody, hey, where do you get them? Give me one of them. You know, and it's true. Peer pressure can work both ways, and we forget
that. That's definitely true. And I think that's definitely true with younger people, the pressure to be pro-life. And you'll hear that said, you know, begrudgingly by pro-choice, and I'm using air quotes as I say that, pro-abortion people. There was an article about a girl from in a college, like Georgetown, maybe not Georgetown, I don't want to say Catholic college, but at one of the colleges in D.C., like American University or something, And she was saying, oh, the, she was at the march, you know, protesting all of us.
Yes.
She's one of the 30 people probably there. But she said, oh, the problem is, you know, young women today don't realize, you know, what's at stake. Well, they just actually don't agree with her. The young women of her generation were marching for life.
That's right.
That's what was really
they
happening.
They do realize what's at stake.
Yeah, so which is kind of ironic and sort of funny. So it was great. And you know what? It does really, we all have reason to be grateful right now
right.
because it looks like the healthcare bill is
looks
going,
like it's
down.
Going down.
I mean, I think there's always reason to be concerned.
Yes.
We have no idea. And I think President Obama is being pushed by the left-leaning members of his parties, the progressives, to really keep – you know, push things further. You know,
right.
if you're going to be in for one term, then let's
get
this
get
stuff
it done.
Mm-hmm. So we need to be on guard about that because yeah. I don't think all of our congressmen and senators feel that way. I don't think they all want to lose their jobs, and I think they're very afraid they might.
Yeah.
So we really need to make our voices known.
Right. Yeah. And it's a crucial time now because, mm-hmm. as you said, you know, they saw, like, I mean, Massachusetts was a real wake-up
yeah,
call.
Yeah, it really was.
And maybe for the wrong reasons, really, mm-hmm. you know, because they're just looking at it as one state and it couldn't happen anywhere else.
Right.
But the people are speaking, and
right.
they're uniting of one voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a sleeping giant, if you will, as
yeah.
that girl said. And I think that it'll be a wake-up call, for sure, Massachusetts was. However, because of that, because of bringing that awareness out mm-hmm. publicly, now more than ever, these people are afraid of losing their jobs. Now is a time to call your congressmen, call your senators, tell them how opposed you are to this health care bill because of the abortion implications. Because money is definitely, I don't care how they go around
right.
and try to talk, money is being funneled for
the other thing
that.
Is we've really tried to say here at the union that the health care bill is really anti-life and anti-family, every version that's been out there. So even if they decided they corrected the abortion part of it, there are still huge problems
yes,
with this
there
bill.
Is.
You really don't. The principle of subsidiarity,
right.
that a smaller government is better government, is a principle the church has always worked under
right.
and promoted, and we should be promoting that in our own communities and in
That's
our country.
Right.
And, you know, Washington, D.C. can't tell people in, you know, Havertown how to manage their health care, which is essentially what would be happening,
right.
you know. But I sometimes try to explain to people what is meant by funding for abortion and how it tangibly affects them. And in the state of Pennsylvania and most of the – there's – Medicaid does not pay for – there's not public funding
for abortion, right.
Currently, that's the law.
Right.
These two health care bills would have changed that. And – that is a direct impact on the women we serve through our Delaware Valley Pro-Life Alliance hotline. When women see our billboards or they go into a crisis pregnancy center, most of the time or very often they're doing that because they do not have the money to pay for an abortion because they're recipients of assistance
right.
and they're not going to get the abortion paid for. And so because of that, they're trying to find another organization that might help them defray the cost or pay for the abortion. And that is the time that we're able to say to a lot of these women, let me tell you what abortion really is. And
right.
that's when they change their mind. So we won't really have that opportunity
if this goes through.
They'll be in the system and then just the system will pay for the abortions,
right.
which we don't want to happen.
Absolutely.
So in just in a tangible way, most of the women I've worked with through the pregnancy hotline last 5 years that have carried their babies to term after being abortion minded,
mm-hmm.
they called looking for money for an abortion because Medicaid wasn't going to pay for it.
Right.
So that's really...
And that is the bottom line. That's what they're looking mm-hmm. for. So if that money is granted to these, I don't even want to call them clinics because clinics
yes.
denote health.
Correct.
These abortion mills, then, as you said, you wouldn't have an opportunity
right.
to even
It would just make
them.
It so much more difficult.
Yeah.
Like the women that we're reaching out to, I mean, we're able to help some really abortion-minded women
right.
who don't even have carrying their babies or keeping their babies on their radar screen.
Right.
And the fact that they're able to change their minds because we get a chance to just explain to them a little bit about the truth and pray for them and, like, you know, lives are saved. That's all I can say. And,
Amen.
You know, it's really important.
And we're blessed to be here. I have a couple things I wanted to let everybody know. To please continue to keep Frank Basil. He's one of our engineers. John's in there today. Frank's usually here. His mother, Carmela, had just passed away on Saturday. She had a very peaceful time sharing those last moments of her earthly life as she entered into her eternal glory with the Lord. And so keep Frank and his sisters and all members of their family in prayer. And we praise and thank God for the gift that Carmela was, a woman of faith, a woman that loved the Lord and raised her children to know and love the Lord. And Frank's a beautiful example of his mother's faith. So for Frank and Judy, our condolences go out to you. And on a happier note, I want to praise and thank God. I know where I was many, many years ago. It's my son Sean's birthday today. And so I praise and thank God for the gift of your life, Sean Michael, your life in my life, because I certainly see a godly man. I certainly see the reflection of God's love and presence in your life. And so for all of you out there today that are having a birthday, hey, happy birthday. And I want to once again pick up on what we were talking about, Adele. We were talking that it, you know, for sex education and so forth, and how it does, education is the key to make, you know, enlighten the mind and understanding to the truth of life. Why don't you talk a little bit to our audience today on the idea of the truth about contraception.
I think that oftentimes, sadly, Catholics are confused, Catholic, and so I'm sort of addressing that group particularly, about, you know, there's so many abortions and people are pro-life and they think, well, we should really be encouraging contraception because, you know, some of these girls, they're just not going to make the right decision. And, I mean, I would just say, first of all, you have to really be careful of how you say things like that. Every person, every human being is given the grace to live a good life. And they're given the grace for salvation. And God is going to give them the tools to do the right thing. And it's up to us to support that. And now as a society, we certainly don't do that right now. But that doesn't mean that we tell people, you're not worth this. Do you know what I mean? It's impossible for you to wait, or it's impossible for you to change this behavior, which is often what people want to do.
Right.
And it's just so sad that you do that because you're destroying their dignity in a way. You're minimizing it. And, you know, I've run across a variety of different women in a variety of different situations. And oftentimes I can see why people think, you know, this is her third child. She's not married. Like, you know, the situations can be difficult. And I understand that. But I'm still not going to tell her that using contraception is the solution, because contraception is the root of abortion.
Absolutely.
And I think people don't often see it. Even if they see it in their own lives and they reject contraception in their own lives, they're sort of like, well,
I don't wanna
be a matter of policy, we can't be, you know, so we should be funding these clinics that are not really clinics. They're just handing out pills and drugs and condoms, and they're not really helping. And one statistic I like to say to people is 56% of women entering an abortion facility to have their child killed were using contraception when they got pregnant. So, you know, people say if you're on the pill,
that's
tonight,
an amazing statistic.
And actually, it is from the Alan Guttmacher Institute.
Wow.
It is from Planned Parenthood's research arm. Now, they try to qualify that with some of these women weren't using it properly or not regularly enough. The point is they were using it in the month that they became pregnant.
Right.
And I don't know why they presume that women are so stupid that they can't take a pill every day when most women do. I don't think they should.
Right.
But it's not that hard to take a pill. It doesn't, you know, and they get it. It's pills and condoms, and they talk about user failure and all these different things. And I just think that's a ridiculous, insulting thing to say.
It is.
But secondly, the problem is 56% of them, of the women getting an abortion, were using contraception. And those statistics truly do bear out with the women that I work with, and also when I was the director of a pregnancy center, because we kept a log of, you know, how many, what contraception were you using, if any, this past month. And I had at least 40% of the women who became pregnant, who were pregnant, had a positive test.
Right.
they were using contraception.
Right.
And I remember thinking, wow, you know, my mom really wasn't kidding about this stuff. She was always totally against it, that it doesn't work. And it really doesn't.
Right.
Especially for the women that were, especially for the women that are entering the abortion facilities, like it hasn't worked for them. And so I don't know why Planned Parenthood is, or any pro-abortion group or any Catholic is saying that contraception is the problem, is the solution. It's the problem, not the solution.
Exactly. And I mean, as I say so often, really, we had a prophet ahead of his time,
Paul VI,
in Humanae Vitae. Mm-hmm. And it starts out, the whole document is about contraception. Mm-hmm. And he went on to prophesy, really, about all that would happen in our down the road, that slippery slope that everybody uses and says, oh, it really doesn't mean. It does mean it's slippery slope, because sure enough, everything that he wrote about, we're seeing in our time right now and have been since Roe versus Wade in the 38 years.
And I think that I was with some friends from high school who are all Catholic, and we had a conversation a few weeks ago, and there was kind of a sort of an exchange about my sister. One of my sisters has 9 children, and sort of the gasps and, oh my gosh, 9 children.
Been there.
And I think that's so sad on so many levels, that they just outrightly have rejected the church's teaching without investigating it, which I think every Catholic is under an obligation to figure it out on your own. There's a ton of stuff online. All you have to do is read the insert along with the birth control pill to see what the side effects are.
Right.
And just think about what you're doing to your body, to your spiritual health, and frankly, to the environment.
Right.
You know, because contraception has this really negative effect on the environment. And that's
absolutely
been showing
the water, everything. Yeah.
And so when I had this conversation with these girls, I was sort of, it was borderline offended, but I was just more like, this is so incredibly sad, because you don't see the blessings of a large family. And I think also women who do understand the church's teaching and who are blessed with a large family, and I know that they get flack a lot and people say things to them, and they're sort of, part of you wants to just like crawl into a corner and be like, I don't want to deal with this. You probably had to deal with sometimes because you had 12 children.
Right.
I really think that those moments are opportunities for
absolutely
you to share that.
Absolutely.
And I know it's scary and it's hard to put yourself on the line like that, but I hope that more women who understand the church's teaching will sort of be open about, you know, whether it's just like a passing comment, like, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, so grateful for my children. And also, I would never use something unnatural in my body.
Right.
You know, just like in that way, so that people will ask a further question instead of just dismissing outright, you know, large families as a bad thing, you know what I mean? Which they really aren't.
And it does give you an opportunity to witness.
Yeah.
As you say, witness to that truth. What are some of the things in regards to health care? Let's go back to that, because that's imminent right now.
Right.
What are some of the things that you want to bring up today for our listeners in regards to the health care bill? Of course, absolutely continue to call their congressmen, their and women, their senators, and continue to make a stand, contact people that they know, like-minded people, or people that maybe are, you know, I always think people are on the border there. They don't like what's happening, and they might want to do something, but they don't know how to go about it. They don't know what to do. And same with the Tea Party things. That's how it started. They went to others.
There is a great resource that I must give a plug to, and it's stoptheabortionmandate.com.
Okay.
So that is a website that was put together by a coalition of pro-life voices. So Susan B. Anthony List.
Want to give that again?
stoptheabortionmandate.com. So it's all one word. And they have a ton of resources, explanations of what's really going on with the healthcare bill, links to different websites where you can learn more about it, some talking points of what to say to your congressional, your representatives, and also your senators. just like how to address it, because I understand that it is confusing. And I mean, the first thing is abortion is not healthcare. I mean, if you're sort of like overwhelmed, like, I don't know what to say to this person, when you call an office, say abortion is not healthcare. I do not want you to support any bill that has abortion funding in it, and just say that. And then, you know, you've done your job. But you should also learn more about it so that you can explain to your family and friends about why this is such a problem. And I would also say a lot of times we say call people when we're upset with them. But Bart Stupak from Michigan, he is the person who really created the Stupak Amendment with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops was in support of, which in the House bill, there wasn't really abortion funding. And that was to his credit.
Right.
And so he deserves a thank you for trying to do something about this. And then in this area, Joe Pitts is a great guy that from Lancaster County that we're just really blessed to have, that's defended the rights of the unborn and, you know, it's against the health care bill. And then some of the Democrats that are in Congress, in the House, that are Catholic, I think people should try to find them and just say, please live up to your Catholic faith and not support a health care bill that would have funding in it. Because I think what is probably going to happen is the Obama administration and the progressives are going to try to build a coalition and come up with some sort of, I don't know if it's going to be a compromise. I don't know how they're going to let this die, although we'll probably know more. The State of the Union is tomorrow night, so we'll see what President Obama says about this. And so it's like a kind of a little bit up in the air right now, but it still never hurts to be calling and just saying, I'm not for a change in my health care. Sorry.
We're both coughing in here.
But, and, you know, people need to understand that. You don't want your abortion paid for through your health care.
That's
And you really, probably most people don't want to change their health care program. At all.
I think most Americans, from all the polls, not only Rasputin, but a lot of the polls, I mean, almost 67% is the last one that I read. They did not want anybody messing with their health care for their own reasons.
Yeah, you know? And I would say to people, too, this is just like another thing. You are going to run into Tea Party people and everyone say, oh, you know, I'm sort of pro-life, but really I'm against paying for abortions. And some people say, I'm not pro-life, but I'm not for paying for abortions. And I would say to them, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Ask them that question.
Great. That's a great question.
And if they will probably have some ridiculous answer, and then you'll just say, do you think it's a baby? And then that's just like where you can take the time to explain to them about the humanity of the unborn child and the danger of abortion that it poses for all of us, most importantly, the unborn child. But you know, all these conversations are good. They're important to have. And again, I can only sort of recommend stoptheabortionmandate.com for all the resources on the healthcare. Just a list of what to say. And there's two websites, too. If you're like, who's my senator? Who's my congressman? I'm not sure who the person is. For the House, it's www.house.gov. And so you can put in your zip code, and it'll give you all the contact information, including an email address. The Senate is senate.gov.
Right.
So both of those are great resources for people to go to find out. Although in our state, it's Casey and Specter, which they both need to – you need to address both of them.
Absolutely.
Particularly Mr. Casey.
Right, right.
So that's really where we are with the healthcare thing. I personally – have a hard time believing the progressives and President Obama are going to give this up. They might come up with some sort of fake compromise. I just don't know how he's going to let – it's just been a mantle of his administration, of his whole first year, changing health care. So I think we all need to really keep our eye on it.
And I agree. You know, I've heard so many people say to me, oh, Kathleen, it's dead. It's dead. And I said, well, you know, he'd like you to think it's dead. You're not going to be calling your senators. You're not going to be calling your Congress people. I said, the bottom line is it's really not dead till it's dead.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised to see him slip through a back door with it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's there. They're voting on it just like before.
Yeah.
Even to the point of the reconciliation, trying to get something through the reconciliation, which I think only requires 51 votes.
Yes.
So believe me, this is not a done deal. It's not dead.
Yes. And it's actually difficult to follow what they're willing to do. When someone is that sort of dead set on passing something, because The idea behind a progressive socialist is that they want to take over more of your life, more of our country's economy. So if they can take over healthcare with a few other things, then they just have more control over us, which is not a good thing. We don't want that kind of control from the state.
Right.
You want to submit to that kind of guidance from the church, but not control from the state. And I think sometimes Catholics get that confused because they're like, well, we need to help people. And that's true. We do need to help people, but right. we're not helping them by adding a bureaucracy
right.
to something like healthcare. Because then there's also the issue of end-of-life issues, pregnancy.
Exactly. I gave a whole thing on that last week. Absolutely,
yeah.
Adele.
And it's, just family size, pregnancy, how you decide to deliver your children.
Right.
All these things are going to be affected.
Even disciplining your children, correct. That can even enter into it.
Yeah, it's amazing how, if you let that kind of control happen, and you just have to be really careful with that. And we need to be vigilant. I guess that's really the word that I would say. Vigilance, go to those websites, pay attention to them, see what's going on. Continue to call, continue to get involved with things. I think that's the best thing we can do right now. So.
And I'd like to give out our number. We only have about 10 minutes left. But Adele, you'd be, I'm sure, glad to answer any questions.
Sure.
And maybe we have a young woman out there listening today and just happened to tune in to our station. And again, you're listening to WTMR 800 AM. This is What the World Needs Now, Catholic Radio in His Sign. And we're blessed today to be able to broadcast the truth about abortion and the precious gift and the dignity of every human life from the womb till its natural death to the tomb. And our phone numbers are 610-527-2906. Again, 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll free from anywhere else, 1-888-343-2484. Once again, 1-888-343-2484. I'd also like to make a reminder to everyone in regards to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Once again, we have a group, the Croatian Relief Services, it's called the Apostolate of Mercy, and they will take all of your funds, any donation you'd like to make, as well as non-expired medicine, toiletries, air mats, tents. Do not send clothing. And you can also send your donations. Again, make it out to Croatian Relief Services Incorporated. And on your memo, please put in the memo, Haiti, so they know that will go directly to Haiti. And I want to send out a kudo to my daughter, Kathleen. She is making arrangements to fly to Haiti right now. She is a specialized nurse for infants. And she's a NICU unit nurse. And her and several doctors are flying out to Haiti to give some specialized care to these babies and these children in the orphanages, all those that were affected. And there's not enough doctors or nurses. And so, Kath, I want to praise and thank God for your holy boldness. You're just out there. You're taking a leap in faith, and you're raising the money to get yourself there on your own, and raising the money to get medical supplies. So I'm really proud of you, and I'm proud of all those volunteers, all those who have given so much for their brothers and sisters in Haiti. And more than anything, I just want to put out a point. Please pray for your brothers and sisters in Haiti, that they will come through this tremendous event that happened in their land and in their country, that they would realize, even in the midst of this tremendous, devastating happening, that there is a God that loves them, and His name is Jesus, and it's a triune God. Not the voodoo. They're not going to find their salvation in voodoo. But please pray for your brothers and sisters. It's a Catholic country. pray that they might come a little closer to the Lord for their own salvation, because God loves them and he's mourning himself for all those who have suffered, all those who have been wounded and had their lives torn apart. And speaking of that, Silent No More. Mm-hmm. What a difference they have made. They've taken a terribly wrong decision they've made in the past. Pardon me. And they're taking that off their mouth and they're speaking out about the horrors of abortion. Yeah, how that wounds women.
Yeah, Silent No More awareness was there once again this year at the March for Life with their witness, with their great signs that they have. And you would see people that said, I regret lost motherhood. I regret lost fatherhood. And they just do a great job with it. And just for anyone out there who is still in need of healing from an abortion, a great resource is Rachel's Vineyard and Silent No More.
Yeah.
And they both have websites, silentnomoreawareness, I think, .org.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rachel's Vineyard.
Right.
And just for all that they do and what they say and how they speak to all of us, you know, and just such witness of God's love and mercy, truly.
Right.
You know.
And that's the good news, isn't it?
That
it's... We have to look at these women that, you know, we don't know how they made that decision.
Right.
They might have been coerced into it. They might have really been ignorant and really believed the lie that it's a tissue. It's, you know, it's not a baby. And the truth is a tissue you blow your nose on.
Right.
Like I need right now. And the gift of life is something sacred. And so we do need to make clear that the decision of abortion is always wrong under any circumstances. But God is a merciful God.
Right.
And it's never too late to turn to him for mercy and forgiveness. Because he makes all things new.
It's really so beautiful, you know, just the work that, especially Teresa Burke from our own area, what she's done on just healing and hope. And her
husband, too. I mean, Kevin has done a wonderful work for the men.
So in the pro-life movement, like, you know, they always say God can bring good out of evil.
Yeah.
And it's just... such an example of that in all of our lives. We see it, you know, I have the privilege and honor of working directly with so many of these women, and it has its challenges.
I'm sure.
But when you see, you know, just a child born, a life changed, a heart touched, you know, a family inspired, it's just, we're all really grateful for it. And so, it's a great movement, and I would just encourage everyone to get involved in it. And our website at the Pro-Life Union is www.prolifeunion.org, and you know, we try to update that. We also have a blog where I try to comment, you know, once a week or so on what's going on, and that's prolifeunion.blogspot.com, and you can get there if you go to our website. And then there's also our phone number, 215-885-8150. So we encourage everyone to find out a little bit more about us.
And praise God. And I'd like to make two announcements before we go off. One is for men. Are you out there and are you listening? And women, for your sons, your husbands, your brothers, your fathers. We will be having a men's spirituality day, which is a men of fire. Again, at my own parish, Corpus Christi. We've been asked to have another day. And it is February 6th. February 6th. It will be from 9 o'clock till 3:15 p.m. Again, February 6th. All you men out there that have been calling me constantly and wondering, are we going to have another Men of Fire? We are. And it will be a day of men's spirituality at Corpus Christi Parish. That's up in... the Lansdale, Upper Gwinnett area, and you can call, and it's $20. Listen to this. You're going to have, I guess you would call it just in the morning, you will have a time to have like juice and buns and a biscuit or something. You'll have a time and opportunity for confession, to be freed up, to be received the renewed gift of new life through Sacrament of Reconciliation. We'll have Amanda will be there with music once again. My son Brian McCarthy will be giving the first opening talk. We will have I will give also a talk on healing, And we've really just been blessed with this in the past. We invite all men, $20. You have a beautiful hot lunch. You have an opportunity to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We will have Mass, and then we will have healing. I will do a presentation on healing, and we will have teams to pray over you. So my brothers, and for all my sisters out there, tell the men in your life. Again, it is February 6th. Call the rectory there at Corpus Christi Rectory, and let it be known that you want to come. They need a head count for dinner. However, you can bring your $20 with you and pay at the door. And as I said, once again, call Corpus Christi, 215-855-1311. And Angela McClellan is the person that comes under her domain. So please call, ask for Angela, let her know you're coming to the Men's Spirituality Day, Men of Fire. And again, 215-855-1311. And once again, we want to thank you, Adele, for the awesome gift of having you be part of this radio broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great to be here.
And God bless you. And remember, you're never alone. Remember, he who is in you is far greater than he is in the world. And I remind you, too, to remember there's nothing like a wounded healer. Many of us are wounded. But to go out after you've received God's love and mercy and healing in whatever area that God has healed you in, whatever area he has set you free to be all that he calls you to be, go out and share your story. Share the good news that Jesus has come to give you new life, to help you to become all that he's called you to be. Remember that he who is in you is far greater than he who is in the world. And you're never alone. He is with you even till the end of time at every moment of every day. May God bless you. And may you never forget that you're a child of the living God.